The scripture is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she says, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask, and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness, and mercifully give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not, and for our blindness we cannot ask, through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When I was in seminary, I had read an article on how to discover the will of God through fasting. Fasting was something I'd heard about but never observed. It was just not in my faith tradition. Fasting was an important aspect to some people's spiritual walk. So the next day was the launch of a fast day for me. I skipped breakfast and lunch. Pride was written all over my face, and I told numerous people about it. I should have remembered something, that fasting is a covenant between the individual and God. It is not to be broadcasted throughout the countryside. I was doing it for the wrong reason, but at the same time had no idea that my priority for fasting was misplaced. By supper, I was a raving wolf. I stopped the fast because there was nothing beneficial happening to me except starvation. If only I had remembered that prayer is the channel through which we seek God's guidance much more than an outward ritual. Fasting isn't bad, and I am not here to malign it. It's a wonderful ritual, but do it for the right reason without pride nor arrogance attached. By the way, I had a feast for supper that evening. So what happens when God is slow in responding to our prayers? Why is it so agonizing to wait on God? Well, certainly the Bible says to wait on the Lord from Psalm 27:14. Now that's easy to say if it's not happening to you or you're not the one waiting. But tell that to a person who has just encountered a tragedy, perhaps even someone whose spouse is leaving them and does not plan to return. Convey those words to a child who has to live in the midst of abuse or getting bad news from their doctor. Today we're going to meet a woman who did something completely outrageous. It was not in the norm to do something like this because, as a Gentile, she approached Christ and asked healing for her daughter. Gentiles were not supposed to accost Jews for whatever the reason. Mostly, to a Jewish person, a Gentile was unclean. Christ at first delayed or refused to grant her request. He even said something that he was called to the children of Israel, not to those who were not of that tribe. So it's interesting here how Jesus was playing with words here. But the reason why he was doing that is he was trying to draw something out of that woman. Some type of apparel of faith in there. Christ, as I said, first refused to grant her the request. But there is a legitimate reason behind the refusal. Now, if it were us asking God for something boldly when we knew we really had no right, we would probably it would probably cause us to blend back into the crowd. But not this woman, who demonstrated a tenacious faith. It also revealed Christ as much more than a miracle maker, but as the compassionate Savior of the impossible. Now, a little geography here. This woman resided in the region of Tyre, which was a non-Jewish area north of Palestine. It had always been, say, use the biblical word, anathema to Jews. It was a place that they would never go, because most Jews just wrote it off as just another Sodom and Gomorrah. However, Christ had traveled from his religious land, which would have been Galilee, to this land or place of unbelief. How comfortable would we be in a different or strange surrounding? To be out of our comfort zone may really demonstrate the real us. Evidently, for this woman, being an advocate for her daughter showed the deep love that she had for her offspring. You know, when our loved ones are ill, there isn't anything that we wouldn't do to make sure that they get the best medical attention, is there? We would commit highway robbery or even larceny to get medicine if the circumstances demanded it. For this Canaanite woman, and some Bible translations say Syrophoenician woman, she was at the end of her rope. Nothing had worked for her, and she sought out this prophet from Galilee. Now, it is highly probable that Christ's reputation had spread far and wide, even into the backwoods of Tyre. The system had broken down and wasn't working for her. Her daughter needed crucial medical care, which she couldn't afford, and the Lord was the only choice in this situation. Upon encountering Christ, this mother received the silent treatment from Christ. Very odd for Christ to have done so, isn't it? What can be done when the Lord puts us on hold? Everyone seemingly has received an answer, but nothing for us. Let it be remembered that God never forgets us in whatever, and there must be a trust factor involved. Perplexed about no insight, but never neglect to remember that God has been faithful in all our yesterdays, and so there isn't any reason why God shall not continue to come through for us in the now and future. Remember that nothing is ever too difficult for God to do. Silent treatment can be very upsetting. Did that mean Christ was uncaring and unconcerned? Well, absolutely not. The Canaanite woman did not give up so easily, but she kept on nagging Christ to do something. Talk about admiration, and she certainly should be admired. She believed Christ would act and follow through for her. That is what we must do. We must keep on trusting, because God's always been faithful and will eventually address those needs, even when our prayers do seem to be placed on hold. Don't interpret that we are being ignored by God. Not at all. Keep on praying. Study your Bible, because there will be an answer from God. Is that too simplistic? Of course it is, and keep it that way rather than complicate matters. Amid the quietness, Abraham and Job waited, but God came through for them. Remember, there were 400 years of silence from the prophet Malachi until suddenly God spoke again in a manger in Bethlehem. This woman, whom the Jews would have ridiculed because of their distaste for Gentiles, was ready to submit herself to the Lord. Christ knew that she was ready to commit her entire self to God and was satisfied that her confession was sincere. We are assured that Christ had planned all along to heal her daughter, but as a lesson to others, including Jews, to demonstrate that God loves all people, made her the showcase for the widening circle of God's outreach to the world. A reminder is that the Jews had been indoctrinated for centuries in the belief that they were exclusively God's only chosen people who loved them and no one else. And this required a change of heart and mindset. Whenever God delays in answering us, there is a legitimate reason. God never does anything haphazardly, only deliberately. God will never discard us and specifically will speak to our personal needs, give peace to our hearts, and provide strength for difficult days. God will grant us the wisdom and direction to go forward in any given situation. God gives comfort during moments of loneliness and provides us the courage when we feel abandoned by others. God is best for whatever is wrong with our lives. When you require to wait for the answer, keep your faith centered on God. God will not forget. In closing, let us hear from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river that the streams whereof make glad, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that rightly early. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Take this to heart and comfort you every day in your life. Remember, God, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let us pray. O Lord, thank you for the love and strength and courage that you give us. Thank you for your support and the idea that you will never abandon us nor forsake us. Help us, O Lord, when our faith wavers, but we know that you will come through for us every time. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let us join together and affirm our faith in the God who comforts and supports us and will never abandon us through the Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And God bless.